Unfortunately, there is a wide divide between academic and industrial circles when it comes to battery technology. Don't become a prisoner to either view. This podcast aims to free your mind by providing a realistic technical review of the latest trends in lithium-ion battery and beyond. So I would like to dedicate this podcast to recent reports in chemical engineering news journal for chemists and chemical engineers, a report on a company called Ionic Materials. And you may have heard about Ionic Materials before. They have been around for a few years, I believe since 2012 or so. Recently they had big income, big purchases from large automotive OEMs, big investments. This company was created by Mike Zimmerman from Tufts University, brilliant scientist. He was at Bell Labs previously and other companies. The company focuses on a solid electrolyte, which boasts a pretty impressive conductivities, equal or higher than liquid electrolytes at room temperature. And what makes it unique is that at low temperatures, even as low as negative 20, negative 30 degrees, it has very high conductivity, higher than liquid electrolytes in cell guard separator for lithium ion. So the conductivity of cell guard impregnated with the separator in conventional lithium ion batteries is about 0.2, 0.5 millisiemens per centimeter at room temperature, and drops down to an order 10 times lower, an order of magnitude lower at negative 20, negative 30 degrees. And the material that Ionic Materials has, according to them, has similar higher conductivities, which is unique for a solid electrolyte. Solid electrolytes usually have lower conductivities than liquid electrolytes, especially at lower temperatures. They have a lot lower conductivities. In addition, this is supposed to be a polymeric electrolyte. Polymers, the most famous polymeric conductor, lithium-ion conductor, is polyethylene oxide, PEO. In order for this material, in order for the PEO polymer to be conductive to lithium ion, it needs to be above or around its melting point. So this material has crystalline and amorphous regions above or close to the melting point. It becomes a lot more amorphous, and you have a lot of motion. It's called segmental motion in the polymer chains, which coordinate to lithium ions and allow its diffusion through the polymer. So it requires higher temperatures. However, the polymeric material from Ionic Materials boasts high conductivity even at low temperatures. So it's interesting what type of mechanism this occurs by, and it's a very interesting claim from Ionic Materials. So I'm going to quickly go through two patents from this company. They both were awarded in 2017, and they're very similar. The first one is US 9819053B1. It is about a solid electrolyte with two surfaces. On each surface, you have electrodes. It consists of a polymer base, a dopant, and an ion source. It is also extruded. It can be extruded, so it's a thermoplastic from pellets. In the invention here, there's no slurry used. The separator, the solid electrolyte, can be extruded down to 7.6 microns, so very, very thin. Typical separators in batteries are 20, 25 microns, cell guard separators, for example. The melting point of this polymeric electrolyte is above 220C, actually it is 275C. And here's the important part, the polymeric base is PPS, polyphenylene sulfide. It's basically a phenyl ring connected to sulfur as the monomer. It is a mainly crystalline polymer, a high proportion of it being in the crystalline phase. The molecular weight is quite small, 108.16 grams per mole. The inventor here uses a commercial polymer. It uses the commercial brand Ryton, RYTONQC160N, from Phillips Chevron, which is basically the same polymer, PPS, polyphenylene sulfide. For the ion source, this material is doped with zinc oxide or lithium oxide or lithium hydroxide components. As far as the dopant, the material used is is called DDQ or 2,3-dicyano-5,6-dichlorodicyanoquinone. So it's a quinone. It's an electron acceptor. And this is the, it has a function of a dopant. And I'll discuss more about that later. This material has a Young modulus of about 1500 megapascal. It passes with colors, the flammability test, so it doesn't burn, it self-extinguishes. The oxidative stability is high. It shows above 4 volts versus lithium, above 4.5 volts versus lithium, so it can be used with high voltage cathodes. Interestingly, in one of these patents, bonding layers are named between the solid polymer electrolyte and the electrodes, which may imply some sort of adhesive or even ionic liquid, we don't know. So the problem that it solves here, this invention, of course, is solid, so the problem associated with liquid electrolytes are precluded, such as fires and explosions and buildup of SEI, which over cycle life increases the resistance in the battery. What else? The separator, there's no need for a Celgard separator. This material has a dual role of to conduct lithium ions as well as to separate the anode from the cathode as well. Regarding the manufacturing cost, what is explained here is the use of extrusion or molding, also a roll-to-roll method to expand the material into sheets. It is very important for this material to have high crystallinity content, more than 30%. In addition to PPS as the polymer, the inventors also described the use of liquid crystal polymers, such as PEEK or PPO, or what else did they discuss? PEEK or PPO, or PPA as well, polyphthalamide. As far as advantages of the invention, as I mentioned before, it is non-flammable. It benefits from a bulk manufacturing extrusion method, and what they explain is the idea is to extrude the electrolyte separator, and then extrude mixtures of the electrolyte separator with the cathode and with the anode, and build the battery from the inside out. So starting in the middle, then extrude and laminate together the cathode on one side and the anode on the other side, and then stack the cell. You have to heat this thing above the melting point of the material, so everything is heated to 295, and then is cast roll cast on a chilled roll to cool it down and solidify it. So very interesting method for application. So it's important to keep, as I mentioned, this material in high percentage of crystallinity. So it's a very different mechanism than the mechanism of lithium diffusion in PEO, where you need where the amorphous form of PEO is preferred to induce mobility of the chains, which allow diffusion of the lithium ions. This is a unique difference between these materials. The compounds that can be used to impart lithium conductivity, interestingly, are oxides or hydroxides, such as lithium oxide or lithium hydroxide. By reaction with electron acceptors, which are basically oxidizing agents, such as the DDQ, as I mentioned earlier, you have release of lithium ions from these oxides, or release of hydroxides, as we'll be mentioning in the second patent. This material, according to these patents, can conduct lithium ions as well as a variety of other alkali ions, such as sodium, or divalent ions such as magnesium, which is very interesting, as well as hydroxide anions for batteries, alkaline batteries such as zinc, manganese dioxide, where the hydroxide anion is the shuttle ion, not lithium. Other electron acceptors, which are mentioned here in addition to DDQ, is tetracyanoethylene, TCNE, or SO3. Ozone is also mentioned. It would be very interesting to look at the type of reaction that occurs between these electron acceptors and the polymer, as well as the oxides that are being doped. Some questions that I have is regarding the high voltage stability. Oxidative stability reported exceeds 4.5 volts. Lithium hydroxide and lithium oxide really don't have that high of an oxidative stability. I'm very curious how come this material can show such a high voltage stability. In the other patent, US 974-2008-B2. It's another 2017 patent from the same company. The same polymer is being presented, the polymer being PPS, with the same type of dopant, so polyphenylene sulfide, or the DDQ. As far as the ratio of usage, we have examples in this patent of making actual separators. There are in excess of, there are actually 20 or more examples at the end. The ratio, some ratios are as follows: PPS 67%, lithium hydroxide 33%, and they actually use the hydrate, lithium hydroxide hydrate. And regarding the, these are weight percents, and regarding the ratio of DDQ, which is the electron acceptor, to the polymer, to PPS, is 1 DDQ to 4.2 moles of PPS. This is molar ratio. These things are ball milled together and then hot pressed at temperatures in excess of 250 C, with pressures between 500 and 1000 PSI. In the second patent, what is claimed is there's more information given on the conductivity of lithium ion, as well as hydroxide ion, as well as other ions such as potassium, sodium, magnesium, calcium, and others. A lithium sulfur battery is also presented. Interestingly, for the lithium sulfur battery, it is only the cathode which contains the solid polymer electrolyte. The separator is a regular Celgar separator mixed with liquid electrolyte. However, a reversible zinc manganese dioxide alkaline battery operating 1 volt is fully solid, and the battery shows two electron reaction with a reversible capacity in excess of 400 milliamp hour per gram. They were able to get theoretical capacity 600 milliamp hour per gram for one cycle. Reversible capacity is about 400, which is still in excess of one electron. This is the alkaline battery in commercial Duracell, 1.1 volt batteries that we have in our devices. So it was very interesting to see these reports with actual electrodes. However, there are no examples with higher voltage cathodes. Well, MnO2 is a high voltage cathode versus lithium, it's in excess of 4 volts. So that is a high voltage cathode, but there is no pairing with lithium metal or with any lithium based anode. The conductivities are still high in the second patent as well, but like I said, there is no example where lithium conduction is being shown. So this is very interesting report, very different type of conductivity. There is an attempt to explain a mechanism based on polarons and solitons. It'll be very interesting to for everyone listening to look at these patents and decide for themselves regarding the arguments given there for the mechanism. I think all in all, it's a very interesting concept, and I am very curious and interested in this class of materials coming from ionic materials. Thank you.